Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up? Welcome in. Happy Friday on the CHGO Bears podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get up to two risk-free bets, up to $2,000. What's going on, Bears fans? Adam Hogue with you alongside Nicholas Moriano. I swear he's there. There he is. I was not expecting.
I don't know what happened. I was not expecting
to see my face that big up close in my. It was like I was looking into a giant mirror all of a sudden.
You're one of three who are very confused by it. I don't know what the hell happened.
It was a psychedelic Friday right there.
What are we drinking?
Which Aaron Rodgers would know all about down there.
What you got there, Adam? What are you drinking for today's Happy Hour Friday?
Yeah, Happy Hour Friday. Lost Coast Tangerine Wheat. Ooh. Just a solid go-to all the time. I don't like really fruity beers, but when you're out in the hot sun at practice, this is a kind of day where, by the way, the Bears do sell beer at training camp. That's probably why Nick gets heckled the whole practice. I don't know why they do this, but you know, it happens. No, that doesn't happen. I just made that up. But the shandies should be flowing on a hot day like this, I feel like. So post-practice, little tangerine wheat. It's just a subtle tangerine flavor. Love it.
Nice. I just went with the whole bottle of Bacardi here. Said, you know, screw it. It's Friday, right? No.
Wow.
I got something that's called a straight
pulls from the Bacardi. That was you had that ready in case the Bears had a bad practice.
There you go. Yeah. Maybe if I get enough super chats, if it's here, maybe I'll take a pull. Oh. But I'm just putting it out there. It is on the table, but I do have something else here. It's called, above five. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Rebel Kent from Three Sheeps Brewing. I've never had it. It was just in the fridge, but I guess we'll try it for the first time. I have no idea.
You just have random beers in the fridge?
Oh, it's pretty good. Yeah, from parties. Like someone's bringing something.
People
from
come over. I got you.
Yeah, they bring their six packs and stuff, but it's pretty good.
All right, welcome in.
Let's get going.
Yeah, we'll dive in here. Thanks, Lawrence. Alfredo's already wondering about Tevin Jenkins. We're going to jump into that. Of course, there were some more confusing things said today, although today was actually refreshing, quite frankly, on that topic of Tevin Jenkins. But first, best and worst we saw today at practice. What do you got?
I'll go with my best thing that I saw at practice, and that would be Justin Fields' deep completion to Velus Jones Jr. along the left side. You know, it was against the scout or that second team defense that was running a 3-4. That's what Luke Getsy kind of revealed to us. But still a good throw, good catch from Velus Jones Jr., one of the deeper completions on the day for the Bears offense.
For me, best thing I saw, something the Bears have lacked in previous years. You know, when the defense jumps off sides, what does Aaron Rodgers do?
Takes advantage.
Boy, longtime listeners are going to know why I'm going with this because this drives me crazy. He immediately chucks the ball deep. It's a free play. Well, guess what happened today? The defense jumped off sides and Justin Fields launched the ball deep to Equanimeous St. Brown. Equanimeous. God, I even practiced that on the way home.
Practice did not.
I swear I was in my car saying Equanimeous.
Equanimeous.
We'll get there. Equanimeous. It's still training camp, guys. Anyway, launches it deep to EQ, pulls it down, and you would hope that would happen because Luke Getsy from Green Bay, St. Brown coming over from the Packers, good to see from the quarterback. The Bears just never would do that in the past. It would drive me crazy. Like, they'd either just wait for the penalty or the whistle be blown. Benji says Nagy would call a timeout. Like, it's a, such a simple thing. Even if you don't complete it, even if it's intercepted, it's a free play. So, in fact, the Bears tried to work on that, remember? And then didn't something bad happen? What am I thinking of?
The interception against the wasn't that the, against the Packers where they thought it was a false or like
the yeah they thought it was a free play and it wasn't, so he chucked it up, but it wasn't a free play, so it's anyway. Good, I think to it was Adrian.
I think it was Adrian Amos, if I'm not mistaken, that got the interception against the Bears. But that play confused me, Adam, because the DB on that play just gave up, and so if that's what the flag was for the pre-snap. Man, you already know he's going to go on the board for a loaf because he completely stopped. I'm like, yeah. Oh, did the defense think it wasn't, I don't know, it was on the offense, whatever it may be. But yeah, they finally took advantage of that. But going the opposite way here, Adam, for the worst thing I saw, it happened late in the practice. It was kind of in that situational period. But Justin Fields had a touchdown run along the right sideline. But there were flags before the play was thrown or happened, and then Cole Kmet, it looked like Al-Qaeda Muhammad got in the backfield and drew a holding call, takes away the touchdown from Justin Fields. Yeah. But it also seemed like Cole Komet's like, wait, I was being held too, because he was like kind of looking at the defense. It was a weird play, but ended up the offense went backwards, take a touchdown off the board, which is a Justin Fields run down the right sideline.
All right, my worst was just don't overreact. But there were a couple wide open wide receivers down the field today where Justin Fields overthrew him. It happened twice. Guys were open. The ball was overthrown. The one cool thing I will say is on the second one, which I think was overthrown to number eight.
Tajay Sharp?
Yeah, it was 88 deep. Yeah, that's Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Tice was at practice today. Nate Tice is awesome. Nate Tice is the son of former Bears offense coordinator, Mike Tice, who and Nate works for The Athletic now. And he was at practice today. We've been friends for a little bit. Love talking ball with him. Also a Badger. So we have some football things that we bond over. But it was fun watching practice with him today. Anyway, I was not with him that moment where that overthrow happened. And I came back over to him and he said, the cool thing about that was it looked, he's like, I was watching the coaches and they corrected it immediately, like right there. As soon as it happened, it was something with his shoulder, like he dipped it too far. And Nate could see that from the sideline. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Good stuff.
So, and I'm gonna warn you right now, that is gonna be a theme of this show today. Some good things I've seen from the coaching staff that we're gonna get into here. And the headline really is, we'll talk about Tevin Jenkins, I promise, and what Luke Getsy had to say about that. But this was a fun practice today. It really was. It was, first of all, by far the most fans we've seen out there, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's Friday. More people able to take off work, probably get out there. Weather was nice. A little hot, but not too bad. And the Bears all came out the field like, yo, that was a tough practice. Like, they pushed them really hard. Cole Kmet said it's the hardest practice he's probably ever been a part of. Darnell Mooney said he was, like, laid out, right? Like, had to just after practice, had to lay down. And then Eddie Jackson also agreed on the defensive side that it was a tough practice. So to see all that and then see it was competitive, it's good to have one of those days every once in a while. There were also a lot of guys missing from practice after the off day, which really surprised me. Here's a running list I have. Robert Quinn not practicing today. Kyrus Tonga not practicing today. Kyler Gordon not practicing today. Kendall Vildor not practicing today. So two of the top three corners were out. Also missing tight end James O'Shaughnessy today. Linebacker C.J. Avery. Duke Shelley was also out. So goes back to the secondary being a little thin. And Dante Pettis at wide receiver out today.
Yeah.
So a lot of those guys we didn't necessarily see suffer any injuries the other day. So just coming off the day off, it was a little surprising to see them out. But maybe the coaches knew, hey, this is going to be a really hard practice. Let's not push it with some guys who might be dealing with some dings and bruises here, stuff like that. So anyway, tough practice. It was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. And Eddie Jackson talked about, you know, he was asked, hey, has the defense won most of these days? And then he admitted today, like, today was a tough day, like with the offense kind of going back at them and obviously the overall intensity of practice. But, you know, just listening to Cole Kmet, Eddie Jackson, and those kind of guys talk about the intensity of it, you saw it out there. And there was a point where, you know, Cole Kmet's like hunched over trying to regather himself. So it was a good practice for the Bears. And I thought just a bounce back day for the offense in terms of some of the things they did. Again, more towards the end where you saw maybe the fatigue come in. You saw a little bit of those mistakes kind of show up. But it was encouraging to see some of those downfield throws, I thought, from Justin Fields, even if it was against the 3-4 scout team that they went up against.
Yeah, so speaking of that scout team, we kind of forgot to do overreactions right off the top. Usually we do overreactions kind of as a bit, but I'm going to make a big deal out of this, and some will accuse me of it being an overreaction, so that's fine. So I have never seen the Bears do scout team work this early in training camp, and I tried to check with some of the other beat guys that have watched practices, you know, at least as long as I have. And the earliest I can remember them doing scout team stuff is the week before the final preseason game, when sometimes the practices will actually get split in two. You kind of have the guys who are going to play in that last preseason game, and the guys, you know, who are on the 53 that start preparing for the week one opponent. And then you start to get in the scout team stuff because you're preparing for that opponent. I do not remember them doing this early. I also check with Nate on this one too, to see, you know, if he remembers that, you know, if his dad had done that or anything like that. And he couldn't remember it this early either. So asked, Luke Getsy was asked about this. And the answer was relatively simple, because I was like, are they already doing 49er stuff? No, this is a 30 front. Okay. They're just starting to get ready for the Chiefs. What, like, that seems a little too early. The game's over a week away. And the answer was quite simple. There's two teams in the division that run 3-4 defenses. And within the offense, their checks and communication changes when they're facing a different front. So you got to work that stuff. And you can't work it against the Bears 4-3 defense. So you got to work in periods where you're going up against a 30 front. And that sounds so simple and sounds so obvious, quite frankly. But yet I'm telling you, have not seen that a lot, if at all. And so maybe it's an overreaction, but it is just another like small sign, small detail from some of these practices that really give me just good vibes about this coaching staff, that they seem to like, they're even taking moments of practice, Nick, where they're just, you could tell they're like teaching them how to practice, even just little stuff like that. And I just think it's very, very encouraging.
Yeah. To kind of just tie this all together too, like even in the beginning of practice where I was just watching the linebackers do their things, like Dave Borgonzi, after each guy hit the pad or did whatever they were doing, it was like, there was feedback being given as the other guy's trying to go through their rep. It seems like nothing gets overlooked, right, with this coaching staff. They want to coach you up right there on the spot. And I know Eberflus has talked about that. Like, we're not going to overlook these things. And it speaks to what the Bears are kind of doing in practice, coaching it at the time that it happens so that you don't make a mistake later on at a different practice or a different drill. So it just seems like very detail-oriented is how I'll put it, with each one of these coaches on the staff, which – you know, could definitely help this Bears team down the line. But it just seems like when something happens, if it doesn't go the right way, let's coach it up now so we don't have that mistake in the future.
Yeah, I just think it's a little thing like that. And again, like even when Getsy explains it, it's like, oh, yeah, duh. Like that's so obvious. Uh-huh. And yet you haven't seen it. So I don't know. It might be obvious, but Then where is it? You know what I mean? And I saw Greg Gabriel responded to my tweet about it on Twitter. It said that, like, it, going back all the way to 1984, Bill Parcells used to do that, like, every day. Cool. So it must be something that other teams do. I'm telling you, just haven't seen it from the Bears in the years that I've covered them, Nate's been going around to a lot of these practices. I asked him if he'd seen it from teams doing it this early. And even he said it's sort of a later in camp type deal. So anyway, just a little nugget there I thought you guys would want to chew on. And just another little thing that has me encouraged about the coaching staff, which, you know, ultimately that's what matters. If they get stuff right on the field, that they operate the right way. We are still way early into this thing, which is why, you know, I think it could be considered an overreaction. We have yet to see them play a game. Ultimately, that's what matters. But it's almost like every day, Nick, I see something and I'm just like, wow, that's different. That just makes sense. Yeah. So
I like a shy sports fan's comment here. Gotta practice practicing. Like, yeah, you do have to practice practicing to get things right. It makes so much sense. Real quickly to give my overreaction. With those DBs like Kendall Vildor and Kyler Gordon being out, you saw more Tavon Young in the starting lineup. He had a couple good plays. There was one play where he put Darnell Mooney on his ass. It was a running play. Tavon Young put him down, and Darnell's like, oh, gets back up. And then a few plays later, he tips a pass over the middle of the field that was intended for Mooney, and the pass falls incomplete. So overreaction, hey, Tavon Young's still in the works of being that starting nickel corner. And he's showing that he could take advantage of it today.
Right. Because a lot of times it's just reps and opportunity. So you have a couple of guys out and you got to take advantage of it. You definitely got to take advantage of it. All right. Want to shift to some of the offensive line stuff. Tevin Jenkins isn't the only guy I want to talk about. I'm not even sure he's the one that matters the most right now. Because there was something we brought up yesterday that we wanted to check in practice Friday. Well, it's Friday, and we'll have that update for you. But first, I want to tell you the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. And if you do that right now, you'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. And that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you will receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. Any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. Your home for live in-play betting just got even better. If you happen to see an edge in the game you're watching, if your favorite team is primed for a comeback, don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. More live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs with PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app right now. Use promo code CHGO. What are you waiting for? It is time to elevate your live betting game. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. Nick, I'm kicking myself too, just real quick, because yesterday was another first game of a series for the White Sox. And we had already given the pick of the week out earlier in the week, but I meant to give that out again. Because if they're at home, it's almost like a lock they're going to lose the first game of the series. On the road, it's a little bit more iffy. And they did have 3 left-handers that they faced yesterday. So usually that bodes well for them. So it probably wouldn't have been the most logical bet. But at this point, like first game of the series, like you should just bet against the Sox.
I think brutal. This team sucks. I think they're now 12-22 in first games of series, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
So if you had bet that all season, you're living life.
Doesn't matter if they're playing the shitty Rangers or the fucking Royals. They suck. So well done, Tony La Russa, you Hall of Famer.
Just in case you're wondering how Lawrence feels about it.
1-0 to the Arsenal. Shout out to Gabriel Martinelli.
The pink team?
They are wearing pink today, yes.
Okay.
Just looking forward to betting now. The next, you know, first game of the series, like, I want some money, so I'm going to do it and, you know, come back and thank you later, Adam. But I also have to tell all of our listeners about FOCO, which is one of the best places to get collectibles and gear around, whether it's, you know, for Bears, Cubs, White Sox, Blackhawks, or Bulls. FOCO will have something for you, your kid, a loved one. Everybody can get in on what FOCO has to offer. And if you're looking to get some of that gear, collectible, or accessories, FOCO has officially licensed gear for men, women, and kids with everything from bobbleheads to swimsuits to Crocs. Whatever you're looking for, you can check it out and go on FOCO, and I'm pretty sure they're going to have something for you. So FOCO's got you covered with the best Chicago merchandise of your favorite team. Head on over to FOCO.com or click the link below in the YouTube description. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off.
All right. Tevin Jenkins. Mm-hmm. Interesting contrast, I would say, in how the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, handled Tevin Jenkins' questions today compared to how the head coach has. The head coach has been very mysterious. Just says he's working with the trainers. Shout out to Peggy Kaczynski. Back in that Bears media room, the legend, Peggy, love her. She just straight up asked Getsy today about Tevin Jenkins and if he's not only been in the meetings, but if he's been an active participant in the meetings. And Getsy's response was, oh, yeah, Tevin has been great. He's been attentive. He's all in. Yeah. Once he gets through this deal, he'll be back out there ready to rock and roll. Now, what that deal is, still don't know. But even before that, he had made a comment about Tevin and been asked about Tevin, I think, and he just talked sort of in passing about a guy who would be back. And I took note of that. I'm sure Peggy did, which is probably why she asked the question about if he's been in the meetings. And it's just a very different vibe than what the head coach has been giving off.
Yeah, and it sounds like Tevin Jenkins is in the mix to still win that starting spot somewhere on the offensive line, whether that's a left tackle or right tackle.
Based okay, off now let me stop you right there. If you buy in what Luke Getsy's saying, he's still in the mix. If you're using your eyes and what we've been seeing, which is not seeing him, I would call that a stretch right now. But he did say that when Jenkins is back, he would be competing for those spots.
And I will say this. I'll kind of add to why that could still be in the possibility. Larry Borum has been pretty much a consistent right tackle. Today, we're seeing Riley Reiff over there a little bit more, right? So I feel like they're still trying to find the best five there. So if Jenkins comes back, that's why he can still be in the mix. Because it's not just Larry Borum's job at this point in time. And Luke Getsy has talked about it. We're going to still find the best five. So if you are buying what Luke Getsy's, selling right now, I still think there is an opportunity for Tevin Jenkins to compete for the job. Just all depends on the timing now. I mean, how much longer is he going to miss out and you're still going to say he's going to compete? If it's like 3 weeks into camp, it feels like you're definitely on the outside looking in. But it sounded like from him, he's still in contention to at least try to earn that spot.
Now, I appreciated the spin zone on Twitter right away. Got a couple of responses. I wish I had them in front of me. I'd shout them out because they were kind of where my head was going. As someone who has been confused, because if you're trying to trade a guy, talking about how he's hurt isn't really the best way to trade a guy. Sure. Talking about him the way Luke Getsy talked about him today now. Now that's a little different. So I'm with the fans on this one, guys. Like, you're confused. I'm confused. Usually we can figure this stuff out at least a little bit. Usually something's leaking out. The only thing that's leaked out at all is that the Bears are taking phone calls on them. Not even that they're actively trying to trade them, just that they're taking phone calls. So if he's really been in the meetings, though, and around, that's not that certainly doesn't suggest that Tevin Jenkins is trying to leave the Bears on his own, like he's trying to force a trade or anything.
No, yeah, that doesn't. If that's what's happening, if that is what is actually happening, again, what injury is it that what injury is Tevin Jenkins dealing with this time? I guess is like the thing that we still won't know. But it is interesting. And, like, I don't know if Luke Getsy would, talk up Tevin to, I guess, interest teams. Like, opposite of what, Matt Eberflus kind of do, right? Like, it just seems, I don't know. He comes pretty straightforward. Yeah. Luke Getsy seems pretty honest when he talks. So, yeah, it's a mystery. It really is. At this point, it's a freaking mystery with Tevin Jenkins.
But here's the other side of it, and then we can move on, I promise. If I still go back to this, if Tevin Jenkins was still like in the full good graces of the Bears from top to bottom, don't you think they would be doing more publicly to help him?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I still go back to that. The head coach then should be talking about him the same way that Getsy was today. And, or offering up the same thing that Eberflus offered up about Thomas Graham Jr. the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be out sometime.
Yep.
You know, and it could have done that last week, and it would have ended all the speculation right away. So you're not going to convince me just because of what Getsy said today that everything's hunky-dory and he's going to be back and, you know, starting at left tackle soon. Or right tackle. Really either side.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just got to kind of use our instincts on this, and sometimes those instincts turn out to be wrong. So I'm sure everybody here will enjoy that part if and when that happens. But I can't ignore that side of it. Just come out and help the kid and say the type of things that Luke Getsy said today if you're the head coach. That part's still confusing to me.
Yeah, and real quickly, I see Fun Size 198 says, I know you guys jumped on the gun on this maturity issue. I don't think anyone on this podcast said that we knew that he had maturity issues. That was just what was being kind of set around. So kind of get that out of there. It's like that was the word going around, I guess. But I don't think anyone here actually said that. So
yeah, but you get lumped into everything. That's just kind of how it happens.
That's true.
And shout out to David that says, because you don't know everything, Adam. I don't. I say that literally every day, multiple times. I don't know.
Yep.
Go back and count how many times I say I don't know. I take pride in that. I don't know everything. I tell you every day when I don't know something. I'm pretty upfront about the things I definitely know, the things I've heard, the things I've telling you directly, and then the stuff that I'm sitting here having opinions on and don't know for sure. So, that's part of what's fun about doing the show every day, and we're going to keep doing it. So yeah, regardless, this Tevin Jenkins thing's still a little bit bizarre and will continue to be, I think. But by the way, still wasn't out there in practice today. And I don't know. It'd be great if he was.
Yeah. I want to see him in pads. Yeah, I would love to see Tevin Jenkins in pads. See how he does.
I was excited about him when they drafted him. I was excited when he was able to play last year. And you know, I think they did him a disservice, quite frankly, and how they utilized them a little bit. And I was optimistic about him getting a chance this year. So maybe that chance is still coming. I don't know. But the Luke Getsy comments today were very different from all the comments that have been made about Tevin Jenkins so far this training camp. And we'll figure it out at some point, I guess.
Maybe. But there is other offensive line stuff to talk about, Adam, other than Tevin Jenkins. Right, we were kind of talking about the fluctuation of, you know, guys kind of rotating in and out of today's lineup. Like you saw Braxton Jones at left tackle. You saw Riley Reiff at right tackle. I think Schofield has been primarily at the right guard position. There hasn't been any fluctuation there. Sam Mustipher has been locking down center. Left guard has been Cody White here. But the tackles are still in question at this point, I would say. And Luke Getsy admitted that. He's like, yeah, we're still figuring out, kind of going through the best five and trying to see what works. And if Tevin Jenkins gets into that equation, we'll, you know, still try to figure out the best five there.
Yeah. All right. But Braxton Jones, I think that's something we got to follow up on and talk about, because I was very curious. Pads go on. If you missed the show the last couple of days, pads go on, and he's all of a sudden goes from being in a rotation with Riley Reiff, it seemed like, to just getting all the reps at left tackle. And Riley Reiff, all of a sudden, the last couple of days before yesterday's off day, was rotating with Larry Borum at right tackle. All right. Is that something they were just trying? Were they going to move him back to left? Riley Reiff back to left? No. Same thing today. Braxton Jones, first team left tackle. On the right side, it was Riley Reiff actually getting most of. Was that even a rotation today? Or every time I looked, Reiff was with the ones, and Borum was with the twos.
I think it was towards the end of practice where Larry Borum got his opportunity with the ones, but okay. I would say 78 was primarily the guy out there, Reiff being at with the first team.
So I asked Luke Getsy today about Braxton Jones. What did you see from him after the pads went on? How did he adjust to that? Luke Getsy said there was zero intimidation going against Robert Quinn. Your very first one-on-one pass rush, it's an intimidating thing. He stepped up and did a great job. He's answered the bell. He's done a really nice job for us. Lock can still change. We should also bring up how Getsy was very clear today that the starting five, far from set. They are long ways from figuring that out still. The game reps are going to matter. But just another day goes by where you got to consider this Braxton Jones thing as very, very real, as a guy who has a realistic shot to be the week one left tackle, which is crazy, but good for him. I keep saying this, looks the part. He looks the part. His athleticism is there. Like, if this guy had come from Alabama, you feel like he would have been drafted in the first round. You know what I mean? But he played for a 1-10 Southern Utah team. And I'm sure that that played some role in how far he dropped in the draft. But this is a thing. It's a thing, Nick.
Yeah, he's holding his own. I noted early on in practice, he was one-on-one with Al-Quadin Muhammad, and who has been, like we talked about in the last couple podcasts, he's been wreaking havoc in the backfield. Nah. Braxton Jones said not today on this play. Stonewalled him, had him blocked, and Justin Fields was able to find Byron Pringle. It was a short gain, but Fields had to go through his progressions, which is another thing that Getsy talked about. There are a couple plays where he actually found the last read in his progression, but Braxton Jones, super solid in taking on Al-Quadin Muhammad, not allowing him to collapse the pocket. I'm like, all right, Braxton Jones, this is your job to lose, and right now you're doing a fantastic job of keeping it.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to what I said the other day. Like, pads go on, and you're just like, I haven't seen that moment where Braxton Jones looks totally exposed. And quite honestly, if it had happened a couple times, it would be understandable. Guy played at the FCS level for a bad football team last year. So, again, you hate to jump the gun a little bit too much, but I think we've also been patient about this, even going back to OTAs when they first made that move. And if he just keeps chipping away at days and continues to look like the best option, I mean, I don't know if there's going to be something other than, of course, how Justin Fields plays next week against the Chiefs. Like, I would put Braxton Jones at left tackle as, like, number two on the list of most important items to keep an eye on in that preseason game.
Yeah, no doubt. He's getting great opportunities, too. It's like you go up against Robert Quinn, Al-Quadin Muhammad. If for some reason they rotate Travis Gibson over there, there are some quality pass rushers.
Yeah.
That's going to give you good looks within an entirety of practice. And with this high tempo stuff, it's like you're going to get your conditioning tested, but also the quality of how you're able to block and get into your drop set. So, yeah, Braxton Jones getting quality looks in this practice and, for the most part, making the most of it.
Well, and I think another wrinkle in this is when we talked to Riley Reiff last week when he got signed, he said, I prefer to play left side. And then that's where they were putting him in. So it wasn't a leap to sort of assume that Riley Reiff was going to end up being the week one starter. And if Braxton Jones could come along, maybe eventually he replaces him. But now that he's working over the right side, I'd love to know from Riley Reiff like how he feels about that. We were supposed to talk to him today, and then that got canceled. Instead, Michael Schofield talked to the media. So I don't. Maybe he'll talk tomorrow. But I guess the question is now: is this? I guess probably the most simple way to think about this, and it does seem like this coaching staff is making very simple, logical decisions sometimes, yeah. As and I mean as a compliment, You have two young tackles, Braxton Jones on the left and Larry Borum on the right. Whichever one's struggling more, have Riley Reiff rotate with that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or is Braxton Jones just doing so well that you need to go put Riley Reiff on the other side? Because that, I don't know. Maybe that could be it. But yeah, no, I like that point, Adam's like, they're making logical sense here. Maybe that's what they're doing.
Yeah. All right, what do we got here? We should jump into some questions and get into the notebook before we get out of here. Just want to make sure we checked off all the boxes on the O-line. By the way, the other spots, obviously still Cody Whitehair at left guard. The center still look kind of the same situation today with Sam Mustafa and Doug Kramer rotating. And then right guard, Jatire Carter and Michael Schofield.
Carter got a couple of reps towards the end of practice. I did notice that.
I noticed early, yeah, too. Carter was getting reps with the ones. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're like, hey, these young rookies are not making it easy for the veterans to kind of just take the job. And I thought that would be the case when they signed them. But for the most part, they're kind of holding their own or making it at least a tougher competition.
All right, need to tell you about PointsBet. Again, if you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us out is to download the PointsBet app. It'll help us continue to grow. Use that code CHGO when you sign up. You're going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000 when you do that. And if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll automatically receive a free CHGO membership, unlocking all of our web content at allchgo.com, all of Nick's awesome practice observations every single day, the stuff Will's been contributing when he's been there, My Bears Things newsletter. Everything is there for you when you sign up. Get that free CHGO membership, and it comes with a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. Any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. Online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now, register your account from start to finish all on your phone, and you'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. What are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. Questions, notebook, things to get to.
Yeah,
I will start.
Okay.
Yeah, I can start here. Komet. Oh, Byron Pringle had a couple nice catches today, I want to point out. Valus Jones. Getsy had some nice things to say about him. And there was like a number of, it seemed like there were more deep passes today. So you had a deep crosser to Valus Jones, I noted. Komet deep. I mentioned I should have mentioned that earlier. Like, there were a couple misses, some overthrows from Justin Fields, but there were also some really nice passes and connections in there as well. At times, it just seemed like the offense was going a little bit more downfield today.
Yeah, they definitely were, Adam, and like some of those misses. I couldn't miss St. Brown. He ran a double move, and you know, I tweeted that out. Like, it was an overthrow. I don't know if you saw anything different, Adam, or if Equanimeous slowed up on the play. It just looked like an overthrow to me. Like, it's just he missed the throw. Like, that happens in practice. Which, if you say that to, you know, if you say Justin Fields missed a throw, Adam, obviously you know what the repercussions are going to be on Twitter. But it just looked like an overthrow to me. And then the throw over the middle of Tajay Sharpe, like you were kind of talking about earlier. But I did note, when they were kind of doing that 3-on-3 where they had two blockers and the quarterback would run the ball there, Ryan Griffin, he was standing out there, Adam, in terms of just being able to make the blocks. Like, you can ask Dane Cruikshank and DeAndre Houston Carson, who got they were taken out of the play by Ryan Griffin. And that's what he said, he wanted to bring that mentality that he was waiting for the pads, and a hot day like today, this is what he's been waiting for, and he showed out specifically in the blocking drills. So I just want to give him a shout out for his performance in those drills and how he's blocking.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I just looked this up because we had a couple questions in here about Darnell Mooney talking about scrambling drills. Full disclosure, to get here to our show on time, we had to leave before Darnell Mooney talked today. But I just I just found what he had to say about this, and it is definitely interesting. So thank you to the commenters that have brought this up. And he was asked about an emphasis on scramble drills now. And this is something, Nick, I know at least on Hogan John's last year, we talked about a lot. It's just like when plays broke down, you could see it on the All-22. Like, there just wasn't an emphasis on coming back to the ball. It was just like, the play's over. You know, and so anyway, it was an interesting person to ask Darnell Mooney about this, about the emphasis on scrambling drills. This is what he said. He said, well, we definitely have, you know, spoke on that multiple times, like where you need to be. And like, even in 7-on-7 last year, if the play broke down or something like that, it just broke down. But this year, like, if something breaks down, then the quarterback will scramble and we will all attack to go into the scramble drill. We weren't really doing that last year. So, like, in the game-wise, when the play breaks down, you don't really, like, recognize, oh, well, we need to scramble. We're definitely emphasizing that a lot here now.
Again, things that make sense. Like, it makes sense to do that. And you know what? This is encouraging, too, Adam, because 6 days ago, Equanimeous St. Brown talked to the media, and he was asked about scramble drills. So I wonder if this is something recently, because here's his quote that he said, honestly, we haven't talked much about scramble drills. We haven't had that many opportunities in practice yet, but a few times it's come up. I think that's something we need to work on as a team, is get everyone on the same page, all the wideouts and tight ends and quarterbacks on the same page with a scramble drill. That was 6 days ago, though. Now we're at this point. I wonder if that was an emphasis at maybe after that day to kind of work on the scramble drills. But going back to things that make sense, yeah, you have a quarterback that can extend plays. You should no doubt practice that just so you can be on the same page during game time.
Yeah, it's... And by the way, I mean, it's not a. It, last week was early on when St. Brown mm-hmm. talked to us, and you know, this is the type of thing you probably emphasize on one day. You don't necessarily do it every day, or once a week, or something like that. So they maybe just hadn't gotten to it at that point. So, but to your point, it seems like they're working on it now. I'm going to keep going on because Mooney went on to say we had a system, but we just never worked on it. Because he was asked if they just didn't have a scramble drill system last year. He said, we had a system, but we just never worked on it. You have to work on things. Even though it's just like scramble drill, we just scramble, everybody run around. You have to work on it every now and again. Will this group be more effective in these situations? Yeah, for sure. It's going to be definitely more so of a better reaction to it than just seeing a run around like, oh, we've got to move now. It's just like, oh, he's moving, we move. It's not like it will be a secondhand nature, I would say. Yeah. So
that's crazy to me, though. Honestly, Adam, that is nuts to think about. Like, all the things that were screwy with last season, like that, that's just, I don't know. And obviously, we're seeing in the comments too, like, how did they win 12 games in 2018? Like, what's going on here? I'm right there with all you guys, but I'm glad. I'm sure the wide receivers are appreciative of it, and Fields that they're doing it now, which seems like something you should do on day one.
Ross says, I guess they didn't talk about the whys when it comes to scrambling.
There you go, Ross. Good one.
It is funny. Like, you know, this is where, like, when Justin Fields goes on his, I don't want to say it wasn't like a rant or anything, but when he's asked about the criticism of the offense the other day, and he said, like, well, if you're not really a part of it, you don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like, yes and no. I get that. I get that response. Let me be perfectly clear. But at the same time, like, this, sometimes football is not that complicated, people. And we've been talking about, like, these people watching our show right now, listening to the show, they know what we're talking about. They could see that with their own eyes last year. We could mm-hmm. see it. Everybody could see it. A play would break down, and nobody would do anything. And you're like, why is Allen Robinson just standing down there 30 yards downfield doing nothing while the quarterback runs around? Go look at the tape. It's on tape. You can see it. It's right there. Mm-hmm. Anybody who knows just a little bit about football could see it. And So it's like, it's refreshing to actually just hear Darnell Mooney be like, yeah, we just didn't work on it.
So crazy, though.
I'm telling you,
professional football players.
I like earlier when I brought it up as an overreaction, I don't think it's an overreaction with this team. Like, these little things they're working on, they didn't do it before. Now, I legitimately have not seen scout team work this early or heard of other teams doing it, with the exception of Greg Gabriel tweeting at me about the Bill Parcells in 1984. So I'm sure it's been done before, but I've not. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit in a different category. Like, every team should work on scramble drills. This is a very specific thing where it sounds like the coaching staff has the foresight to be like, hey, look, we're practicing against 4-3 defense every day, but two of the teams in our division run 3-4s. And while the Lions are switching to a 4-3 this year, they've come out on record and said they're still going to have 30 front principles. We need to practice our offense against this stuff because the checks are different. Again, simple thing, sounds so obvious, but you guys know this. Come on. You guys know this about the Bears. It's not always simple.
It isn't. And Adam, you know, you talk about the coaching staff and we, you know, sometimes we go through what are the strengths of this team. And there are a lot of question marks, regardless of where you look. But I, even though there are question marks about the coaching staff, because they haven't done it before, Luke Getsy's never called plays, there's guys in first year roles and things like that, I just have confidence in what the coaching staff is doing. More so than maybe I do in like any position group. And that's crazy to think about, but just the things they do make sense. What they're saying fits what the Bears want to do, maybe offensively and defensively. And yet we haven't seen them play a game, but for some reason, like, I'm buying into it. And it could be the strength of this team is the coaching staff. And there's still a lot to be proven, which I know sounds crazy, but they just do things that make sense, which, again, we've been talking about all episode now.
All right. Lawrence, please jump back in here with something that is not an Arsenal update, please.
Ooh, well, first off, we got to bring up Jose Rivera's comment. Shout out to producer Aaron Rodgers with the Arsenal hat. Come on, you Gunners.
Okay, so that's what that means. Come on, you Gunners.
Yeah, 1-0 to the Arsenal at halftime.
What's the one I always so if I am definitely not even going to pretend to be a big soccer fan. It is a sport I played growing up, though. I was actually decent at it, believe it or not, but never have gotten into it. When we went out to London, though, with the Bears, I've always loved the Tottenham logo.
Ugh.
Just settle down. This isn't London, okay?
Shit.
Okay, fine. I don't care. But what's the I follow them on Twitter, and they always have like a 4-letter thing too. You know what it is?
We are the worst.
Okay.
Oh.
That's not 4-letter. That's
we.
That's
W R A T the W.
Right, I put the hyphen in. Worst. Yeah. Okay.
It smells like nail polish.
Pretty sure that's not what it is, but.
Don't care. Unfollow them. They suck. They'll never win anything. They're a bunch of losers. Moving on. We got some super chats today. Joe Hill with the 10 banger. Thank you, Joe. Over under 700 yards and 6 TDs at the end of the season if EQ wins the starting X job.
Seems a little high for me, Adam. I know he's been having some good practices, but yeah, I'm going under. On both those, the 600 or 700 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot for a guy that, what, I mean, caught 9 passes?
Right. Part of me is like, someone's going to have to do it. But, yeah, 9 passes. I'm sorry. I will.
I wonder what Will had in his preview. We're going to go look it up real quick.
Yeah, check that out. I would say it would be hard to make an argument that he would go over. But be fine to be wrong on that one, sure.
Well, you guys are both negative, so I'm gonna go positive. Over, bang me over. Why not? Here's a $5.
Arsenal must still be winning.
Oh yeah, it's halftime.
You're in too good of a mood.
$5 super chat from Ben's place. Thank you, Ben. He says, "Thanks for the autographed football, Nick and Will. Was Riley Reiff playing right tackle today?" So there's two parts to that one. You just signed a football. Is that for real?
Yeah,
I did. Unfortunately, my signature is just god awful. It's an N, scribble, scribble, M, scribble, scribble. So I know the football lost value, no doubt about it.
For sure. I was going to say, are you going to buy that guy a new ball?
Yeah, I should. But I appreciate Ben for, you know, coming up to us and asking for the autograph. And to answer his question, yes, he was playing right tackle today. But again, sorry about the football.
Yeah, that's just wild. Okay, let's see here. This is from BC Always Right. How has Komet's blocking been in practice? It'll be important for the run game.
Well, yeah, like I said, go ahead, Adam. I noticed Ryan Griffin more in the blocking drills, to be completely honest. Not that Komet didn't make good blocks, but I just thought that when the play was executed, Ryan Griffin was just a little bit more physical on some of the plays. Not to say that he hasn't been good. I just noticed Ryan Griffin more.
I think his blocking's been fine. I'm interested to see it in games, though, because that's, you know, I think it's obviously something that matters. And the COYS, come on, you Spurs. Thank you for the nice people in the comments who answered my legitimate question.
Goodness gracious.
I found Will's outlook on EQ real quick. Equanimous St. Brown. Will, in his player preview, had him at 20 catches, 280 yards, and one touchdown. So a little less than what we were seeing earlier.
All right. Now, here's a weird one from Brian Colbert. Anything of note from Zach Thomas? Haven't heard his name come up in camp.
Yeah, I don't think that's a weird question. I guess I thought he'd be a little bit more in the competition. Like to see Jatire Carter in there. Really haven't seen much of Zach Thomas in the mix for at least a starting. I thought there was a chance after the draft that Zach Thomas could compete for the starting right guard spot, but not so sure about that now, based on what we've seen.
All right. Sorry. I didn't mean it was weird. I just meant it was a random bear or not a bear type player. I mean, I would just draft him. Here's a question from Joseph Sengiovanni. I want to know how the linebacker situation looks. Rose Smith might hold out longer than everyone thinks.
Yeah, no, he definitely. I mean, he was there on just kind of riding around the cart earlier, and he's there at practice. But I've noticed Matthew Adams making some plays. But Nick, I don't know. For me, Nicholas Morrow hasn't, I guess, flashed. But again, I just haven't noticed him as much. But Matthew Adams getting a lot of those opportunities with Roquan out, and I think he's doing a good job at being asked to do what, you know, the defense is needing of him.
Yeah, someone else was asking about Nicholas Morrow earlier, three or four times. I'm with Nick on it. I haven't seen any big splash plays from him at this point. So I don't think it necessarily is a concern or a worry, but compared to some of the other guys that are making some noticeable plays, like Joe Thomas had a really nice practice the other day, just as an example. I think this can actually be chalked up as not that big of a deal with Roquan Smith, at least for me. I think he can come in there, even though it's a new scheme, and jump in and just be just fine. He's that good of a player. He was out there in OTAs. He's been out there at practice every day watching, and he's in the meetings. He's just trying to make sure he doesn't get hurt while they're trying to work out a new contract, and that's fine. Nobody wants to get him to get hurt anyway. So as long as this doesn't turn into something where he's going to miss games, which I'd be shocked if it does, it's just getting more reps for some of these other guys, and that's not a bad thing necessarily at this point.
All right, I've got a couple other Roquan-related things, so I'm going to read them both, and then you guys can just kind of take it all in. So first from JR, he says, are we going to have a big free agent signing, or are we done? And when should we expect the Roquan deal to be done? So that, I guess, is technically a two-parter. But then Antoine Hallman says, I would not be opposed to trading Roquan. Your thoughts? A lot there.
Yeah. I would it would have to be a really, really good deal and a special player for me to trade Roquan. I think sometimes the importance of the middle inside linebackers because they're not, you know, corner. They're not pass rushers. They're not so-called premium positions. Well, sure, in general. But in this defense that the Bears are running, it's that Will linebacker spot is very, very important. I mean, just think about the Lovie Smith defenses. Would that be this? Would you just be like, yeah, you don't need Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs? Like, that's absurd. It's absurd. So, like, you'd have to be telling me that you're getting either. I mean, I don't even think I would do it for a top 10 draft pick. Roquan Smith's already a top 10 draft pick that you know is not a bust, that you know is working out for you. That's still young enough that if you sign him to a deal, he's still going to be most likely under 30 or at 30 when that deal expires. So you got to take advantage of these prime years to me. Now, maybe if it's an established wide receiver who's a proven commodity, maybe. But I don't know how many of those guys are left out there. All these dudes are signing deals. Deontay Johnson just signed his deal. That's a whole nother topic, by the way. That potential free agent market next year for wide receivers just dried up quickly.
It really did. And that would be the only thing that I was thinking of for Roquan. You're going to go get an offensive player if you're trading Roquan. I would think you're not going to replace him for another defensive guy. But, yeah, and DK Metcalf signed, like you said, Deontay Johnson signed. So, like, not much available at this point. Yeah.
All right, familiar name here, Jake Flanagan, a $4.99 super chat. Thank you, Jake. He says, for so many reasons, can Bears fans expect to see much more of the Bears starters during the three preseason games in comparison to most other NFL teams?
Yeah, I liked Matt Eberflus's answer on this yesterday because he kind of got pressured on his philosophy on playing starters in the preseason. And it's just like this answer. Like, it depends on what team you have, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like Nagy came out so strong with like this idea that he's not going to play starters like that. And then he had to backtrack on it because it backfired so much. Like, I just like Eberflus's answer. It's like, depends where you are right now. We're a young team. We got a lot of things that aren't figured out. So we're going to play our starters. That doesn't mean next year might not be different depending on where we're at. But to answer your question, Jake Flanagan, good question, of course.
Shout out to Jake's slide in the softball game that really put us to get momentum to win that game. It was an amazing slide, guys, going to third. Shout out to you, Jake. You started it all. And
Did you win by nine?
We did, but it started with that slide, you guys. I'm telling you, momentum went in our favor. I wasn't expecting it out of Jake, and it was awesome to see and propelled us forward. Love it.
Is it true you tackled a runner?
You already know this answer, so you're just putting me on the spot.
But our listeners don't.
They don't. Yes, my girlfriend was about to round third. She would have been out. I don't know what everyone else is saying. Like, oh, she needed to go home. Like, no, and I'll say she kind of ran into me and I tried to push her back to third base, which you can't do. So I got her out and then she yelled at me afterwards, like, you got me out. I was going to score. I'm like, you were going to be out though. So yes, it is true.
Yeah, but you guaranteed she was out by tackling her.
Yeah, that is true.
Sometimes you make mistakes. That was one of them.
All right. From Shiv Chibber, which is a fun name. Should I draft Mooney wide receiver one in fantasy or what? See a number one?
Wide receiver corner.
I'd have to, first of all, I have not gotten deep into August enough to look at average draft position and all kinds of stuff. I promise you we'll have these conversations as we get closer. Off the top of my head, I can't imagine. Just look at the disrespect that Mooney was dealing with in the offseason. To me, this seems like a guy you can get value with that you could probably draft as a wide receiver two a little bit later on and potentially get wide receiver one production.
Yeah.
So
don't jump the gun. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like one of the top 12 receivers off the board. I mean, depending on how big your league is, right? Like,
Yeah, and the other thing I would say is, even if you're in a league with like a ton of Bears fans who might be on top of the Mooney hype, let them take them early.
Yeah.
There's another wide receiver. Think about fantasy football. There's always wide receivers.
Right.
There's always wide receivers.
All right, so now here's a couple ending questions for us. This is from Jordan. How big of a super chat to see Nick shotgun a beer?
Well, you definitely can't shotgun,
a bottle. But here is something even better. From Nick, $4.99. Let's see that Bacardi poll, Nick.
Oh boy!
Oh, just because it's Nick, I was afraid of this one because this is
The one who brought it up, man.
I did. It was for a prop, but Nick, I appreciate you for the super chat. Why is my heart pop?
I can't even watch this.
Oh yeah, it's so good. My God, that
so good when it hit your lips.
Happy Hour Friday.
Appreciate you, Nick. We're good. Oh God, that tastes awful.
Yeah, that's just bad. You shouldn't. I don't even know why you have that.
Nope, me too.
All right.
I think we end it there.
Can we get a screenshot of Nick wearing all his Hawkeye gear with a bottle of Bacardi?
We got to.
Like going a time lapse back to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Whoa, 10 years. I'm like 17. Come on now.
Yeah, that's freshman years for some people.
Oh, not me. Oh, God.
James Daniels was like 17 when the Bears drafted him out of Iowa.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
All right, guys. All right, we're out of here. Good luck to Arsenal.
Yeah, Outlander asked about the chances of Crystal Palace turning this around, and let's just not go there.
Yeah.
Come on, you Gunners.
No, don't care.
There you go. All right, we're out of here. Fun week. Here's the deal. We're back Monday. So the Bears practice Saturday, Sunday. Our next show is Monday, though, which the Bears are off Monday. But we will have a show 2:00 for you to wrap up what happens over the weekend. We'll be on top of it. Make sure you're there. CHGO Bears Podcast, Training Camp Edition. And then Tuesday is the Soldier Field practice. So we will obviously be right back on our schedule with a post-Soldier Field practice show as well. So everyone enjoy their weekend. Thank you for being here all week, every single day. Appreciate the following. Check out all of our work, allchgo.com. Hit us up on social. Hit that subscribe button. Like all the deals. Get that hat out of here. We'll talk to you Monday.